Mal geder betachen. Ve'ezah davar mevi shiftach ha'odam ve'elokim. What brings a person to have betachen Hashem? Zeh emuna. That's emuna Hashem. I think I saw to say from betachen. I don't know if it's from himself or someone earlier, that emuna is like a tree and betachen is a fruit, because emuna is the basis, trust in Hashem, and if there's real emuna, then there's peiros, then there's betachen. The outcome of emuna is betachen. Because he believes in Hashem, his whole success in this world and in the next world, everything's from Hashem, and there's no one else besides him. He places his heart to love him with all his heart. What does this have to do with loving Hashem? The pshat is because a person loves someone that does good for him. A person that helps you out, a person that gives you, makes you feel good, a person loves him. In fact, that's the way, or the easiest way, for a person to come to Ahavas Hashem. How does a person come to love Hashem? Sounds like it is a very high madrega to love Hashem. And the easiest way is through Hakar Satov. A person loves someone who does for him. So a person realizes that Hashem, you know, created him, Hashem gives him everything he has, then it creates a ahava towards Hashem. When a person, if you ever experienced that, when a person's really happy with something, and he feels like it's really like amazing hashkafa, person feels a flow, a harigish of love. You know, hopefully, you know, let's say a guy will win the lottery, which is not necessarily a good thing if it's not used, you know, if he doesn't use it properly. Person with a lottery, a person might say, I love you, Hashem. Person has a good feeling about the way about how Hashem is treating him, so he feels a sense of love for Hashem. The more we appreciate what Hashem does for us, the more we are shayach to Avas Hashem. Umahu, the more we appreciate what our parents do for us, the more ahava we can have for them. Umahu gedar amuna. It's interesting, a parent has a child, the love that a parent has for a child is not connected really. Well, maybe it is a little bit. I shouldn't say that. A parent has a love for a child, you say, you know, a child doesn't do for the parent, the parents always do it for the child. So in fact, Rashiva said this many times, that the reverse also takes effect. Ahava is a lashon of hav, the lashon of give. Giving to someone causes you to love them. Putting effort into something causes you to love them. Many times, Rachman al-Tzlan, there are people that have children, parents that have children, many children, and one child has a handicap, chas v'shalom. So many times there's more love there because they put so much effort into the child. So there, I don't know if the love there, it's there, maybe it's a greater love. The love is not coming from taking. The love actually comes from giving. The love actually comes from giving. And perhaps maybe we could say, you know, I'm thinking now, maybe love for Hashem is not, maybe it's better developed by not, first of all, we should appreciate everything Hashem does for us, but maybe love is developed by doing for Hashem. Love is developed by sacrificing for Hashem. That's what it seems to be the thesis. Chol Levavcha, Chol Nashecha, Chol Medecha. How do you love? By giving. Chol Levavcha, Chol Nashecha, Chol Medecha. That's an expression of love, by giving. And even if you don't feel the love, just by giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sacrificing for Hashem, causes Ava. Umahu geder ha'amuna ve'ezeh davar mevi adam le'amuna shlema. What brings a person to full, complete trust in Hashem? Who shelo yisno e'am midavar ra? He should not be moved when something bad happens. What?
I guess so. She'ena yarei.
Yarei? Different gear subs here. This sounds like a fancier version. It sounds like a newer one. He should not be moved or should not be scared from something bad that happens. It's better this one. Shekabel kol ba'al av b'simcha. Christian Mekabel, everything that happens to him with simcha. So you'll ask, if everything that a person Mekabel is simcha, then nothing bad really happens to a person. Maybe that's true. Person's Mekabel, everything with simcha. So nothing really bad is happening. You know, obviously it would seem that Rachman al-Litzlan, if there's a tzara, Rachman al-Litzlan, if there's a tragedy, I don't know, but it doesn't seem that there are Gedolim, you know, they didn't cry, or didn't break down in tears. Or didn't they? I'm saying, is that what a person's supposed to be? Obviously, on the highest level, a person's supposed to be that something bad happens, and he's happy. It says by Aaron. I don't know. It says by Aaron. Vayidayim Aaron. Aaron was silent. Doesn't say he was happy. When Nadav and Avihu were. I don't know. My impression, it seems to me, is that when a tragedy happens, of course, a person's supposed to be sad. You know, it's nature. But then a person has to try to macabre it. You know.
I didn't say you can't be sad. It's you have to accept upon whatever you get.
It's simcha. How could a person accept something with simcha and be sad? Is that a steer? I'm sad.
Sad at the same time.
You
no?
Could be. Well, maybe.
Inwardly,
maybe some
show signs of.
What do you mean? Does that mean fake it? Fake
no,
it, sad?
But you can't. Why can't you have both?
I don't know. I'm not. You know, I haven't experienced both at the same time. I think it's very hard, but David wants to say that a person can be sad and happy at the same time. I don't know how that's so possible. I don't know.
That is possible.
I don't know. Something to think about. I don't know.
It was like the famous story that the Gedolim would sit there and listen to people, and then they would start crying along. People would go and tell them the problems, and Gedolim would start
yes, crying. Yes, right.
And then the next person came in and talked about a simcha, the person would be the simcha right away.
Right.
How is it possible?
That's not at the same time. That's still a second later.
You always have that in. Someone always can have. They're not conflicting feelings. Not conflicting, being sad and being happy. Just emotions. You can be happy and show an emotion of being sad.
I don't know. Too deep for me. Is that doing live? Possible? I just don't understand. Nishimayim Belokim. Believe Shalom.
It's a business story. It's like a very self-control.
Someone who believes in Hashem with a complete heart. And he trusts him with a strong trust. That bitachon will bring him. He'll never be afraid of something bad happening.
Isn't it Adam? Adam or Elam?
My gear, so it's midavara. From anything bad happening. Bitachon is a tremendous gift. The person who has bitachon is never afraid. You know, give you an example of what is it. We'll give you an example of what it means. Bitachon, a person who truly has bitachon Hashem. You know, a child would be willing. Hopefully, your child would be willing. You know, if he's not scared of heights, he'll probably be able to jump off something. Let's say jump off something 6 feet high. There's concrete on the bottom. Yeah, he's only 3, 4, or 5 years old, and he's willing to jump. If you say, Yanko, jump, I'll catch you. He'll jump. He's not afraid that you might walk away after he jumps. You might, you know, be lazy and let him fall. He's not afraid. He'll jump. If you're not there, if he's smart enough, he's not jumping. He'd be afraid to jump. Complete trust. He does not have a suffix. There's no doubt in that child's mind that you're not going to catch it. You know? Now, if we were like, you know, if you really trusted someone, then you might be willing to jump off the Ezus Nashim here. And if someone had a special net that you know works to catch you, if he was your enemy, if he didn't like the guy, you might not trust him. You might still be in somewhat of a doubt. He might move away the net after you jump. But if he was your father, or if he was your brother or good friend, you probably would not be nervous that he would move away the net. That's what we call trust. A person could jump 1,000 feet, but if there's something there to catch him, and he has, then he has nothing to be afraid of. When a person has bitachon Hashem, that means that a person, there's nothing to be afraid of. It means a person doesn't have to be afraid. Let's say he has no money now, he's not afraid, because Hashem is there for him. Hashem will catch him. He doesn't have to know how. That's what it means to have trust in Hashem. There's no limit to how far bitachon goes. There is no limit to how far bitachon goes. A person could have bitachon for everything. A person could, you know, person could go somewhere without having any ride home and have bitachon that'll get a ride. A person can have bitachon.
Isn't the Chazanish definition of bitachon different than that?
It's not a contradiction.
What's the Chazanish?
Do you learn the Chazanish?
Yeah.
Where is this?
I don't know where. I was told the sheet of the Chazanish.
He told the sheet. You didn't see it.
I saw it written, translated into English in the sefer.
Okay, but I saw another sefer that says the Chazanish was not excluding this. The Chazon Ish says that a person that people quote the Chazon Ish as saying is bitachon is not. I think this is what they quote Chazon Ish saying: bitachon is not that I trust Hashem, everything will work out the best. Everything will work out for the best for me. Bitachon is that whatever does happen. Okay, let's die. People quote, I don't know, because I honestly didn't see the Chazon Ish inside. But I learned to say from Bitachon, called Igaris HaBitachon, that says that the Chazon Ish does not exclude. There is a Bitachon that we can call Bitachon, that a person accepts whatever happens to him is for the best. Means it's not proactive, so to say. He's not causing things to happen. Whatever Hashem does, he says that's for the best. That is a high level of bitachon, and that definitely makes life a lot easier, and it's definitely a trust in Hashem. But the Chazon Ish does not mean to say that there's no other level, and that is what we're referring to more now, is a person could trust things will happen the way you need them to happen. the things will happen the way you need them to happen. You need something, trust Hashem, it'll happen. You need a job, trust Hashem, it will happen. It might not happen if you don't have bitachon. It might not happen if you don't have bitachon. If you don't trust Hashem, maybe things won't work out your way. If you do trust Hashem, then things will work out your way. Things will work out your way if you trust Hashem. I should really stay over the same schmooze I sit over on Bitachon, but some of you are here already.
Chazar Zikr?
Oh, if those that heard already don't mind, I don't know how many people were here that day, then I certainly could repeat it, some things. But, you know, let's just first of all discuss, it's a very hard level for a person to trust Hashem and to just, you know, not be afraid and just say, I trust Hashem that I'm going to get a job, I trust Hashem with this, I trust Hashem with that. But first of all, let's take the easy way here first and cut, discuss two areas, we've already discussed a little bit, two areas if someone ever does listen to these tapes, they're probably going to find a lot of humor at the places where I probably like repeat myself 400 times and don't know because I don't remember what I said last time, or the times that I probably continue to the wrong place. Who knows what's going to be caught on tape when it's heard if someone listens. But
is that a disclaimer?
It's more likely that they won't be listening. Now,
is it a disclaimer?
No. Now, for example, let's say a person wants to do a mitzvah. Let's say a person wants to do a mitzvah. Person wants to stay and learning. Person wants to learn and make medrash longer than his parents might want him to. Person wants to go to kollel. That's an area where a person, wants you to do something not correct, and you're nervous that if you don't listen to your boss, he'll fire you. You know, you won't get a raise. Whatever it is, you do something dishonest. If I do something dishonest, then you know, if I don't do this dishonest thing, then I'll get a raise. Whatever. If I don't do it, I won't get a raise. Whatever it is. So all those things is very easy for a person, even for me and you, to just say to ourselves that we trust Hashem that we will not lose. We cannot lose from doing the right thing. Shomrei mitzvah l'yedu davar ra. Someone that keeps mitzvahs does not know, nothing bad comes out from doing a mitzvah. If I do what's right, Hashem will take care of me. So that's very easy for us to understand and to live with, because it's not just stam, I'm going to go to a wedding and have bitachon and get a ride back, or I'll go into the store without any money and have bitachon and then I'll find money. That is harder for us to understand, even though it's 100% true. But it's easier for us to relate with the fact that if I do what Hashem wants me to do, Hashem will take care of the rest. And that's very important for a person to have. That a person should trust Hashem that if I do what's right, then Hashem will take care of everything. Nothing bad will happen, I won't get fired, or if I do get fired, that just means there's a better job coming for me. That just means there's a better job coming for me. If I bring this other person to the business, and I'm nervous, oh, you might take over my job. No, I have to do what's right. I have to do what's right for the other person. And Hashem will take care of me, everything will work out. That's a level that all of us are very shaykh to, very easily. And when we do something right, we could say, oh, Hashem will take care of it, I don't have to worry. Another thing which we discussed already is not doing too much Hashtabas, not working too hard. A person might not be on the level to, let's say, not apply for a job and have bitachon, someone come over to him on the street and say, hey, I need a lawyer in my office. He might not have bitachon for that, which also works. But a person might have bitachon for that. So let him apply, but let him not go crazy. Let him hold back on his ishtavos. Let him withhold from his ishtavos. To try to trust Hashem, that Hashem will take care of it. And there is that level where a person could just withdraw completely and just totally trust Hashem. You know, we start over a story with Rabbi Brafman, now Shifrakwe, he said of a story how he was working on Bitachon. And by the way, for a person to do these things, he usually has to be working on Bitachon. A person has to be focused in on it. He was working on Bitachon, and he wanted to go away with his family. He had a few kids. To a lake, what's it called? Lake, What's the lake around Scran called? Don't have any Scrantonians here?
Nope, not anymore.
Shit, I can't remember what it's called there. But he wanted to go to this Chapman's Lake. He wanted to go to Chapman's Lake. I come from the area. He wanted to go to Chapman's Lake, and he had a few kids, and he had a way to get there, and he didn't have a way to get back. So he said, "He will have betachan in Hashem, then he'll get a way back." And he went there for, I think it was a week or two. Let's say it was 2 weeks. I don't know if I'm saying that part accurately. He went for 2 weeks. Probably last time I said it for, I don't know what I said. What?
I think so.
A week?
I can look it up.
Oh, yeah. So I said for a week or two. Let's say it was 2 weeks. Sounds better. And those 2 weeks, he did not worry. He did not ask around in the colony. You know, those people ask around 4 weeks before the off Shabbos. You know, you going to New York? You going? I'm not making fun of them, but yes, I am. But I shouldn't make fun of them because they need a ride. I would also do that. But the person. So he didn't ask around. He didn't ask around. Imagine. It's tremendous betachan just to go there and have betachan that you'll ask around and find a ride. He didn't ask around for a ride. Sure enough, the second to last day he was there, he heard someone came over to him and asked him for directions to JFK. And so Raffin said to him, that was already fair on the lines of betachan. He said to him, you know, he didn't have to have betachan that someone would throw him into the car by force. And he said to him, they have room to take my family back, tomorrow. He said, yeah, I'm going with an empty car, and he took them back all the way to Farakway. And that's the way it is. I think there's another story he said over that Rabbi Peres said over with Rabbi Brafton that he had betachan. He needed a new wallet, and he had betachan that he would get a wallet. I don't think I said over this story last time. And sure enough, in due time, old Talmud of him sent him a wallet as a present. Very common thing to send your Menahel to hold all his money. Yeah, so he sent him a wallet. So a person can have that betachan. You know, it's a famous story that we saw Salanta that a guy, you know, the guy said, you know, you think you have betachan, whatever it is, I'll tell you. You know, he said to him, I'll show you betachan. I have betachan that someone's going to bring me a gold watch. Sure enough. Yeah, brought him a gold watch. Person can have that betachan. The person's holding on a madriga. You guys want to overhear Reb Zindel stories again?
Yeah.
All right. And then there's the famous Reb Zindel stories.
Who is Reb Zindel?
Reb Zindel is Rishos Lanatis Rebbe. And it's good that repeating the stories has impact. Yeah. Reb Zindel is Rishos Lanatis Rebbe. Now Reb Zindel was a nistak. In those days, it was very common to have people that were hidden tzaddikim. Mamish tzaddikim, tamidei chachamim, gedolim, but no one knew about them. They would be wagon drivers, and they'd walk around as peasants, and they would, their whole lives, we think that greatness is about only about how many people you teach, or better yet, how many times you get on in the pictures, in the Modiah, or a TED, or whether you're on the Moetzes or not. That's what we think greatness is. There were people who were tremendous. Rabbi Zundel was Rabbi Sol Salanta's Rebbe. Rabbi Sol Salanta was a God Adar. And he held that he didn't come to like Rabbi Zundel's, you know, to anything to Rabbi Zundel. So imagine how great Rabbi Zundel was. These were the type of people that were in the storm. They didn't, no one knew about them. People, greatness is not just about how big your name is, or not even always how many people you teach. Of course a person has to teach Torah, we'll discuss that. But there's greatness when a person sits in his study and learns Yomim V'Laila. That is greatness. That's greatness. Greatness is not only, you know, how much honor a person gets or how everyone knows about him. That's not greatness. So Reb Zundel was a great person. Reb Yisrael Salanta found out about him, and he was makabel him as his rebbe. You know, by the way, Reb Yisrael Salanta himself wanted to be a nistar. Rabbi Sosalata also wanted to be a Nistar. Because being a Nistar has many advantages. You don't have to worry about doing things for COVID and other things. It's not easy, you know, for us to be a Nistar. We have to tell everyone anytime we do anything good. But it's for a tzaddik, it's easier for them. They like to be a Nistar. Sosalata wanted to be a Nistar. And I don't know if he came to this on his own or is from Rav Zundel, but Rabbi Saul's father said that in this dar, and basically from then on in, it's usur for a person to be a Nistar. And one time Rabbi Saul's father saw someone, people said about him, oh, he's a Nistar. And Rabbi Saul's father said, if he's a Nistar, he's not a great person. He can't be a great person. Because if he doesn't realize that this generation, you can't be a Nistar, people need you, then you can't be such a great person. And I think this is written up in Or Yisrael. I think I saw this. A person nowadays, yes, nowadays, I know some of you guys are thinking about it, you cannot be a Nistar because Klal Yisrael needs you. Klal Yisrael needs your impact. Rav Zundel, though, was a Nistar. I guess he felt other people in that generation could do his job. But anyways, the two stories of Rav Zundel. Rav Zundel's two shidduchim. Oh, there's another mindset of Rav Zundel I don't think I said over. Rav Zundel, first of all, one shidduch happened. I don't remember which one was first. I think this one was first, though. One shidduch of Rav Zundel's daughter is he saw a very chashuv person. I think this was with, was this with Rav Shmuel Salant?
No.
This was with who? Second was with Shmuel Salant? You know, I'm not going to give names. I don't know, I might have said it wrong the first time. It doesn't mean anything. So anyways, Rav Zundel wanted to make a shidduch for his daughter, and there's a very, very great young man in the town. And Rav Zundel, the peasant, went over to the Rav of the city and said, I'd like to make a shidduch with this young man. And the Rav almost threw him out for chutzpah. That's very funny. You have the chutz with the thing that to read your daughter to this thing. All the rich, wealthy people and all the great Talmidei Chacham of the far areas were hoping for this girl's shidduch. But sure enough, the Rav, you know, in passing was speaking to this young man and said to him almost jokingly, you know, about shidduch, you know, Rav Zundel has a shidduch for you. So Shmuel Salant. Who's the next one?
It's the son of his uncle with the Shagasai.
Yeah, but you know who the name was? Anyways, I think this is Shmuel Salant. And he mentioned him as, like, almost jokingly, you know, Rav Zundel has a shidduch for you. And Rav Shmuel said, oh, that's a good idea. And sure enough, he married his daughter. The second story is more incredible. That Rav Zundel went to Eretz Yisrael, and people told him not to go. He went to Eretz Yisrael, a tremendous difficulty. He went to Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael, he had another daughter to marry off. It was impossible to find a young man for a shidduch. It was very difficult. And Rav Zundel made up his mind, he had betachin, that the first young man that comes off the boat, he's going to go to the seaport, Yaffa, I think it was, and the first young man that comes off the boat, Brother Ryan Cutler said over these stories to Rabbi Per, so I'm not saying over as accurately as they were said over. Rabbi Per says them over the Diyuk, but I'm not a good Talmud. But at least I tell you that, not exact. But he went to the airport. He went to the seaport, and sure enough, there was this young peasant who came off the boat who was wearing old pants with a rope holding up his pants. And Rav Aaron, when he saw over the story, was cracking up at imagining the sight of this person. Yes, we have trouble understanding the humor, but he had rope holding up his pants. And Rav Zundel went over to him and said, would you like to marry my daughter? And he said, sure. And he said, okay, and I'll support you for, I think it was 2 years or 1 year. He'll support you for 1 or 2 years. In 1 year cast, he said, I'll support you. And sure enough, they had a shidduch and a chasna arranged for a few weeks, 3 months later. And people thought Rav Zundel was out of his mind. So what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you, crazy? This guy, what are you setting up with this peasant who doesn't look from a distinguished family, doesn't know anything, and he's setting up his shidduch for your daughter? So they said, in the meantime, just sit in the back of Beis Medrash, maybe the words of Torah will have influence on him. And that's the way it went. This young man sat in the back, dumb, you know, with an empty look on his face, the whole day. Sure enough, a few weeks later, Erev Pesach, there's a big discussion in Beis Medrash about a certain halachic issue of Pesach, and this young man pipes out from the back. In the middle of a very complicated discussion, he pops up from the back. My Zayda the Shagisari, he said like this, and cut right into the heart of the sugya. So not only did they see his gainess, how he was holding in the sugya, they also saw his yichus. Sure enough, this young man was also an istar at a young age, and also had betachim, most probably. And sure enough, hooked up with, and people ran to Reb Zundel, and they all ran over to him and said, "Look, this young person is a Talmud Chacham, he's an Einikol Shagasai." And Reb Zundel didn't bat an eyelash. What was the shayla? He had betachim. That's possible. Is it a high madrega? Yes. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have to go to Reb Zundel for it. Maybe. A lot of other people. But it's a high, very high madrega. That was Reb Zundel. That's where a person could go. So that's such a madrega. You know, I think they also say about Reb Zundel, which I didn't say over last time, that he had no money to support his kids. He used to sell oil. And I think he used to pour water into the buckets, and the water turned into oil. I'll tell you what happened. Actually, let me say the story. His son-in-law found out, I don't know which one, maybe it was one from Eretz Yisrael, his son-in-law found out that what happened was, he would come home, and every night, his wife wouldn't eat supper with him. One night, she would say that she just had fleishik, she can't eat milchiks now. One night, she wouldn't be hungry. Another night, she ate already, and she would always have an excuse. And finally, he figured out that they didn't have money money for her to eat supper, and that's why she was making excuse. So he went over to Reb Zundel. He said to Reb Zundel, I hope I'm saying this accurate. He went over to Reb Zundel and said, I don't want to do this to you. You know, they don't have any money to give us. So Reb Zundel said, you're not costing me. Zilla said, you're not costing me anything. Said, for you, I just pour an extra cup of water and it turns into oil. Zilla was a miracle maker. He would have water, his water would turn into oil. But anyways, you know, there's a Gemara. The Gemara says that's, who was it, Reb Chanina ben Daisa? He says that he lit vinegar. And he said that the same creator of the world, the same Hashem that makes oil light, can make vinegar light. And the understanding behind this is that we don't see miracles. Hashem created this world that we're not supposed to have miracles. That's why when you light vinegar, try it tonight, it won't light. But when you're on the Madrega, that you understand that everything's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything's a miracle, and everything is straight from Hashem. It's not a miracle to you. It's for Chanina ben Daisa. It wasn't a miracle to see vinegar light. What's a big miracle? Vinegar lighting over oil lighting. All you see is it's Hashem. It's a miracle. The higher a person's level is, the less it's considered a miracle. Because it's not a miracle. Hashem is a miracle. Everything in life is a miracle. All right. Betachin, without betachin, it's very hard for a person to live life without betachin. Because a person's always in fear. A person's always nervous. He's nervous. You know that people are nervous about their kids. People are nervous about their daughter, Shidduchim, maybe when they're 1 or 2 years old. People can be nervous. People are nervous. You know, there's a person. I remember Yaakov Moshe Katz, gave a shmooze, how people, when they get married, shouldn't be looking for money. What he was saying, he wasn't discussing whether a person could look for support. He was saying like how far it goes. He said he knows a guy from a very wealthy family, and he was looking, they were only looking for him to marry rich, to marry very, very rich. And he came from a very wealthy, extremely rich family. And they, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe said to him, I think, if I have this correct, said to him, why are you so mocked for marrying so wealthy? Your family has money to support you. He said, yeah, but what about my grandchildren? What about when my grandchildren get married, or my grandchildren marry off their children? Who's gonna be enough money for their chasanas? The Gemara says that a person who has today and worries about tomorrow is lacking emunah in Hashem. Person has today, doesn't have to worry about tomorrow.
About
person
money?
Has to trust Hashem. What?
Money is the big matzah. Why do we break the like the middle matzah? Because you take some for now and you save the rest for later. So the lacking the talking about Hashem.
Well,
is it a lacking the talking about if you have enough? You have food for today, so you're gonna save a little just in case. You're gonna
is that a lack?
Hashem gave you no. Maybe mentals give it to you for tomorrow.
Well, the Gemara says the person that has food today and worried about tomorrow's lacking the top. The person that has extra food today or saves, I don't know. If a person's on a high level of betachin, if a person's on a high level of betachin, he should enjoy all his food today and have betachin have more food tomorrow. He doesn't have to save. There's a pasuk that says. Where's the pasuk in Mishlei? It says something that the stomach of Risham are always lacking. Because they never fill themselves up with food, because they're always worried that they won't have food. Tzadik ben Manasseh Yechya? No. Tzadik. Alright, we'll have to find the pasuk. Alright, let's go weiter. Alright, let's stop here.
Okay.